November is Native American Heritage Month, and our next guest is part of a terrific project. Filmmakers creating films to begin conversations about climate among indigenous peoples and others. Roger Paul joins us this afternoon. Roger, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Rich, for inviting me. It's great to be here. Thank you.
How did you get involved with the Reciprocity Project?
Well, actually, by accident, I guess, would be the best way to do it. I was approached by a friend of mine, Chris Newell, who was actually approached by the people for Yo-Yo Ma, who wanted to do something to help heal the world through the times that we've been dealing with. And he's been going around in his project, and he's part of the Reciprocity Project. He wanted to do work with the indigenous peoples, and he asked Chris, how would be the best way to work with the indigenous peoples? And Chris told him, of course, Sing Up the Dawn with us. And he took the invitation, and Chris invited a few of us to go and do a ceremony-like morning ceremony. It's not a real ceremony. We wouldn't want to film it. So we did a morning welcoming of the sun, and he joined us. And Reciprocity Project loved it so much, they put it on their this year's short that they put on. So it's been a great partnership ever since.
Well, the project is a series of 7 Indigenous-made documentary films to get the conversation going about climate. And, well, you know, who better to talk about climate than the people who have been stewards of the planet around here for about 12,000 years, the people of the Dawn?
Well, it's funny you should say that. Whenever I teach, I talk about Indigenous knowledge. And when I talk about Indigenous knowledge, a lot of people think, oh, they must have read that in school. But if you think of a timeline, and radio, I will try to talk my way through it on radio, is if you think of the last 246 years that the United States has been a country, that's most of what you're going to read in your twistery books. And yeah, I did say twistery. My elders talk about history books as twisteries, twisted to kind of give you the picture of what they want you to learn. And so when I teach it, I use it, I describe it as twistery. Now, you go back even further, let's say about 600 years, where there was colonists that came over and started to colonize. Even if you go back a couple more hundred years back to where that Christie guy supposedly discovered America, which, by the way, has never set foot on continental North America, by the way.
Right.
And then you even go back 2,000 years when time began to be recorded, and that cool guy that I kind of like his ideas, Jesus, he was born, and he had some great ideas. It's too bad they got rid of him. I liked his ideas. But then you go back 12,500 years, and that's how long indigenous people have been on this particular homeland right here. Now, beyond that, I know people are trying to imagine this timeline. My stories from my elders that we learn in ceremony go back 25,000 years, twice that 12,500 years on this continent. Maybe not in this spot. That's only 12,500 years. Mind you, we're comparing this to 246. So 25,000 years ago is when the stories of this continent, our people still tell those stories. And so when you think of indigenous knowledge, you think way beyond all of those other time periods. And we have lived on this continent 12,500 years on this specific spot and have actually been doing quite well. We've been flourishing here as a people. The environment has done wonderful, and we've grown together wonderfully. It's only within the past couple hundred years we've started to realize that, wait a minute, this is being done wrong, and we're just sitting back thinking, duh, yeah. So we've been here the whole time.
Talking with Roger Paul on Downtown. No, I'm a high school teacher, and I have been known to teach history, hopefully not twistery, but I've often asked students, you know, that you know about this Columbus guy, 1492. What do you think America was like? Oh, I don't know, let's say 1491. How many people were here? What were they like? What lives were they living? And it's stunning, but I guess not surprising when I find out that they have no idea what life was like here, and that there were not only people here, but there were thriving civilizations hundreds and thousands of years before anybody came across from Europe.
Oh, exactly, exactly. We had, and by some government documents, that would estimate us to over 100 million people on the continent.
Right.
And we had many different villages. Now, a lot of people think that, oh, they had these big wars and the Indians lost and we won it, and that's not it at all. I mean, when the colonists first came, they had been carrying diseases that they were immune to. And when we were exposed to these diseases, we had never seen them before, dealt with them before, and we had no immunities. And as they began to mingle with the indigenous peoples, we began to catch these diseases and die from them. 75%, it's estimated, of our population was killed just on diseases alone, not just smallpox, not just influenza, but many of the diseases that people were carriers of and didn't even realize. And being a teacher of not maybe not what you consider history, but you know that some of the writings of Champlain and some of the other exploiters, oh, I meant explorers that came here, actually commented on it was amazing that they thought it was crazy that the indigenous peoples would drink water from the earth and they would bathe every day. And they thought these things were terrible. And it's like, you know, we have a lot to teach a lot of people about how to survive. Not only have we taught them back then, but we continue to try to share our knowledge to survive on this continent.
Well, I know the Department of Education a couple of years ago mandated the teaching of indigenous history and culture in public schools, but I saw a report recently that says most schools are failing in that regard. And I know this, too, from talking with Molly and Dana on the show a couple of years ago, that often the focus, if it is taught as at all, is to look back hundreds or thousands of years without any understanding or conversation about the fact that, hey, indigenous peoples are still here. They didn't go away. They're still here and living full lives and contributing to society and culture and doing their best to make the world a better place today.
Exactly, exactly. That law that was actually made, it was kind of I don't even know the English word for that, but they made this law to think that they were doing something good. There was no teeth in that law.
Right.
There was no enforcement if no one followed it. And to top it off, we as indigenous peoples have been so ignored for so long, and actually just a couple of generations, my parents' generation, it was illegal to be educated beyond the eighth grade. So then education was not an option for us. And higher education was only to the rare few that maybe it was somebody influential that had a friend that maybe pushed them through a school. But education and written history is something that dominant culture loves from their Germanic history. But we didn't have a written language before the 1980s. We don't have a lot of scholars. We don't have a lot of written resources. And when they look for primary resources, well, can you cite the primary resource where that was written? And it's like, no, we have thousands of years of oral histories, and we've been that way. We're only now just starting to be allowed into my generation allowed into the education system. And we're only now just starting to get more of our own scholars that are actually creating primary sources. So even if there were teeth in the law, the poor teachers had no resources to turn to other than just language speakers of the tribes and historians. And that is not considered a primary source, so most teachers wouldn't revert to that.
Well, I want to talk about this film. It's a remarkable short film. I will probably butcher the name, but I'll give it a shot here. Wekiwapak? How did I do?
You did butcher it, but it's not that bad, you know? I have a hard time with English, so I don't worry. That sounded good. It's actually Wekiwapak.
I wasn't even the neighborhood, Roger. I wasn't even close.
Well, I'm trying to be nice. I try to encourage people to please keep trying. Don't give up. Please keep trying. But no, I Wekiwapak in our language, actually, in the Chukwabanaki language, which is another thing about Wabanaki people, are Chukwabanaki, which means people that live where the sun first looks our way. And that includes all of the noun-based names that were projected onto us, like Penobscot, Passamaquoddy, Abenaki, Mi'kmaq, and Wolastoqiyik. And so a lot of these, we're under that umbrella of the Tuwab'ina'atiq, and it is, we see our duty as welcoming the sun for the rest of the world to be enlightened. And every morning, we have what we call a sunrise ceremony. And we welcome the sun, and we give thanks every morning to all of the ancestors that have given us and sacrificed so that we can have another day and another chance. In Wabanaki, we don't believe in that, oh, you only get one chance. Every day we get a new chance. We get to correct what we didn't get to do the day before, or to straighten out what we did wrong the day before. And so there's always that new day and that new chance to start new and to just come to the world in gratitude and actually meet the world in gratitude and try to share that. And I think that's what drew Yo-Yo Ma to want to do this ceremony with us. He spoke to me at length and many of our people, and he was just in awe when he left, and so were we, as a matter of fact. I just can't even describe how amazing this man is, not only as a musician, but as a human being. He is just so down to earth and so real and so genuine.
It's such a powerful moment in the film when he, obviously with no rehearsal, but is accompanying you as you sing. And my gosh, that just hit you right in the heart.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was Chris. And Chris is a wonderful singer. His dad and his family's been a long line of singers for our community. And he has just this ear for music that is indescribable and something I've never seen before. And just the respect that he shows for all of music and the way that he can make that cello sing to us, it's just amazing.
Well, is there a way that people are able to see any of the films in this project?
Actually, I think they're all on YouTube now. They were with the Neotero and the project for quite some time, the Reciprocity Project, and they were on. They were doing showings throughout the world, but they're on to their second season, and they're working on more and more of these shorts. And so this season was allowed to go on to the YouTube, so anyone can access them on YouTube under either the Reciprocity Project or. And it's not under Witch Guabug. I think they have to go by The Approaching Dawn, the English definition of it.
Well, so, whatever you call it, it's a wonderful and powerful film. And I hope indeed it does inspire conversation about climate in our world and how good to have the people involved who've been doing that job longer than the rest of us who got here.
Oh, well, thank you. We hope that it inspires everyone, too. And we just want to let everyone know that we're all in this together. One of the reasons for the fact that this was so easily colonized was because of the fact that we're coexistent people. We don't believe in ownership of land. And when people needed to come here, we were more than welcome to allow people to come here. I mean, we're coexistent people. And we're not really out there trying to say, well, no, you're ruining this. They are, but you're here, so let's do this together. And we hope it inspires people to think that, listen, we're all part of this, and we're all not separate from the environment. We are the environment. We have to realize that. And the more we understand that we are the environment and it's not separate from us, the more we realize we need to take care of ourselves and our Earth.
See, now those, Roger, those were those crazy beliefs that those exploiters didn't understand when they got here. These people with this connection to the Earth, what are they thinking?
Yeah, exactly. Well, they were thinking they were trying to get the pine trees and the beaver pelt and the tobacco so they could make all those profits back in Europe. So that's more of a capitalistic belief system, which, you know, we're not totally escaped from that these days nowadays. But I do have to say we still hang on to our value systems and we still love to share. So welcome anyone who wants to help share in those values.
Well, we appreciate it, Roger. It's a wonderful film, and we really are glad to have the opportunity. Thanks so much for making time for us today.
Thanks for having me. And thank you. Thank you and all the listeners, Rich, for asking about this movie. And we'll be more than glad to come back anytime.
That sounds great.
Have a great day.
Thank you, Roger. Roger Paul with us here on Downtown.